Local news, culture, and NPR.
Hi, this is Christine Lavin. I've written a book entitled Cold Pizza for Breakfast, a memoir about my 25 years so far as a touring musician, and I'm going to read a chapter of the book here. This chapter is about my time involved with the Fast Folk musical magazine and the Speakeasy Cooperative, starting in the early 1980s. But I'm going to add music here and there by some of the artists I write about. Okay, here we go. Years from now, if someone writes a book about the American contemporary folk music scene of the late 20th century, they will no doubt write at length about Jack Hardy. Since the late 1970s, almost every Monday night, unless he is traveling, singer-songwriter Jack Hardy hosts a songwriter's dinner in Greenwich Village. You can attend if you're a songwriter. You put $2 in the pot to cover the cost of pasta and wine, and you have a new song to sing. Those simple rules set so much in motion. In February 1982, Jack, with a bunch of other musicians, but he was the driving force, organized not only a cooperative nightclub called the Speakeasy on McDougal Street in Greenwich Village, but a monthly musical publication that contained an album of songs along with it. He called it the Fast Folk Musical Magazine. I was so impressed to see that first issue because it was completely created by songwriters. It was packaged in a plain white cardboard album cover, and inside was a homemade magazine that contained the song lyrics and songwriter bios. The whole thing cost $2. Jack wanted to keep the price as low as possible so that anyone interested in folk music could afford it. But he had to raise the price to $4 after the first few months because no one thought a $2 vinyl album could possibly contain anything worthwhile. Boy, were they wrong. That first issue contained, among others, the debut recording by brand new singer-songwriter Suzanne Vega.
It's a one-time thing. It just happens a lot. Walk with me, and we will see what we have got. My footsteps are ticking. Like water dripping from a tree, walking a hairline and stepping very carefully. My heart is broken. It's worn out at the knees, hearing muffled, seeing blind. Soon it will hit the deep freeze. And something is cracking. I don't know where. Ice on the sidewalk, brittle branches in the air. The sun is blinding, dizzy golden dancing green through the park in the afternoon, wondering where the hell I have been.
King of Hearts is a desperate card and the swiftest in the deck. He'll take your queen, neat and clean. He's a royal pain in the neck. He's a royal pain in the neck. My love and I were at the bar when the King of Hearts came in. He gave her a rose right under my nose, and my troubles did begin. My troubles. With his red rose in her left hand, my love was hypnotized. He danced around that swinging door right before my eyes, right before my eyes. I ran out into the road, but all that I could find was a gold. For three long nights awake I watched, awaiting her return. For three long days I gazed and gazed until my eyes did burn, until my eyes did burn. For three long weeks I did not sleep, while the bitter wind seemed to sing, you got a rotten deal, you got a rotten deal. For 3 long years I've shed no tears, nor tried to fix the blame. I played and lost and paid the cost of being in the game, of being in the game. But sometimes when I see a rose, I pick it where it stands. I marvel and I crush it in my hands. I crush it in my hands. Oh, the King of Hearts is a desperate card and the swiftest in the pack. He took my queen, neat and clean, and he never gave her back. He never gave her back. He never back. He never gave her
Muchie, Ackle Bonnie, Rockaway, Piscataway. Ho, Hocus, Sea Caucus, Lois, Squonkum, Fair Play. Wanamassa, Suckasuna, Manna, Muskin, Plump Sock, Bivalve, Buck, Shoot'em, Turkey Foot, McKenna Pog, Jugtown, Feeble Town, Nummy Town, Rawway. Tonk, Monunka Chunk, Mantua, Mizpah. Man Manasquan, Raritan, Madawan, Totowa. Whippany, Pasippany, Pennypot, Hackensack, Batstone, Neskoma, Tutacog, Peepack, Lock, Abba, Egg Hobba, Swinesburg, Caviar. Cheesequake, Boy Scout Lake, Moonica, Tenafly. Netcon, Watchung, Pluckerman, Mount Misery. Bardonia, Ironia, Colonia, Weehawken, Manahawken, Mantaloka, Mahalala, Penstalken, Ducktown, Ironbound, Freeling Eyes, Lodi. Scrabble, Double Trouble, Picatinny, Montague. Muxlapana, Canacon, Espamon, Ocean View. Madison, Shabaka, Onsat, Jumbo, Warden, Diger, Water Witch, Blue Ball, Ringo, Achaponics, Delawana, Wawa Yonder, Timbuktu.
We just heard Jersey State Stomp by Dave Van Ronk, King of Hearts by Paul Kaplan, and Cracking by Suzanne Vega. All those songs were from the very first issue of the Fast Folk Musical Magazine, published in February 1982. It was really kind and generous of Dave Van Ronk to appear on that first issue. He, at this point, was well-known around the world and certainly didn't need the exposure. In fact, Dave used to say, "Exposure! You die of exposure!" But he thought that these folk singers doing it on their own was a great thing, and he wanted to be part of it. Van Ronk introduced me to Jack Hardy, and soon I was involved in both Fast Folk and the Speakeasy. The owner of the Speakeasy was Joseph, a short, grouchy, balding man with a thick Slavic accent. The club was a small, cramped room with mirror-lined walls and jammed with chairs and tables. Lining the back of the tiny stage was Joseph's pride and joy, tanks filled with colorful exotic fish. Once, Andy Breckman stopped in the middle of a song and slammed down a $5 bill. "$5," says, "one of those fish won't live 10 minutes outside the tank." He encouraged the crowd to up the ante. It went as high as $25 till Joseph came screaming down the stairs. I don't think Andy was really going to torture a fish, but it was fun to watch Joseph lose his temper. Andy Breckman went on to create the TV show Monk. He was just one of the musicians who passed through the Speakeasy during the 1980s. Here's some early Andy Breckman recordings. You'll notice he is not a virtuoso guitar player or singer, but what a mind. Every time I watch the TV series Monk, I smile when I see his name in the credits.
I'm going to pop in here to say that Andy Breckman and Christine would co-host many of our shows at the Speakeasy. And after he dealt with Monk, he went on to write for David Letterman, Saturday Night Live. He wrote jokes for Steve Martin when he was on the Academy Awards. So he has had a great run in the comedy world.
A man is riding on a train. He's heading south. It starts to rain. He sings a soft and sad refrain. He thinks he'll never love again. On the other track, a train is heading north and through the rain. A woman looks out her window pane. Her life has been a lonely game. The two trains pass. They're moving fast. Faces flicker past for half a beat. Their two eyes meet, and instantly they both can see that they were meant to be. Yes, it happened just like that. It hit them like a thunder crack. Somehow they had seen the answer to their dreams passing on the other track. So at the next stop he gets off. love like that must not be lost. He takes the next train heading north. He does not know she's done the same. So they pass again. For half a beat, their two eyes meet. But something's changed, it's not the same. Now they can see they were not meant to be. Well, she knew someday it would have to end. She wonders if they'll still be friends. All the plans he made all begin to fade as she disappears around the bend. He will never be the same. Deep in his heart she will remain. He looks into the falling rain. He thinks he'll never love again. I think he's gonna love again. And again and again and again and again. And again and again and again and again. Thank you.
Andy was also a co-host on WFMU for a comedy program called 7 Second Delay. Here's a bit of that.
Now, you know what I got sick and tired of doing? Of listening to you, putting down my listeners, calling them stupid, calling them morons. You think they're morons.
No, I don't.
You do. All you do, off the air. Oh, excuse me, the mic's on. So you change your tune. But off the air, you have nothing good to say about them.
That's not true.
You said collectively, they have an IQ, an aggregate IQ of 80. That's what you said.
That is not what I said.
That's what you said. And my friend, we are going to prove you wrong today.
I simply said that you have attracted a contingent of morons. I didn't mean to say that all of the listeners out there were morons. Most of them are not.
So, but you do want these morons to write a check when their pledge envelopes come, don't you, Ken? Yeah, that's right.
That would be nice. But,
yeah, it sure would be nice to support you and the lifestyle to which you and your little family has grown accustomed. Please, morons, write the check and then tune in so I can insult you. I'm Ken, King Ken. No, today I'm going to prove you wrong. I have bought an IQ test. It's 30 questions, Ken. I'm going to read these questions to my listeners. Listeners out there, grab a pen and a pencil. If you're driving a vehicle, pull over. Now, use your blinker first. Pull over and help me out here. This is a genuine, real, grown-up IQ test that was put together by some grown-up firm. I don't know the name of it.
Alfred Munzert wrote it.
Alfred Munzert. It's like one of these Mensa tests. Deals.
Right. From HU Publications.
That's right.
Out of Utah, so you know it's legit.
That's right. That's right. The Mormons don't fool around when it comes to IQ.
I have cut some of the questions just to make this a bit shorter.
No.
And I'm going to read these questions. It's 30 questions. If you know any, I guess we'll read them in batches of three or four. If you have an answer, please be sure you have the right answer. Give us a call. We're going to try to ace this test. If some beefers are bofers and all gloins are bofers, then some beefers are definitely gloins. Is that true, false, or neither?
All of your listeners have been wrong on the beefers, bofers question.
What's the right answer?
It's true because, it's some beefers are bofers and all bofers are gloins.
No. All gloins are bofers.
The beefers are definitely gloins.
All right.
Oh, don't get me started on this.
If all gloins are bofers and some beefers are bofers, then some beefers definitely are gloins.
But that's not the question,
friend. If you really want to know the answer, I recommend tuning into Nightline tonight, because that's what Ted Koppel is going to be talking about, the beef or gloin question. Which of these five are least like the other four? And these are letter and numeral combinations. A1, E6, D4, B2, C3. Which of them is least like the other four?
Okay, we got a caller now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi,
can you help us out?
Yep. I sure can.
Okay, just be careful. Think before you speak. Count to five. Count to five before you speak. Think it through again.
Just blurt out an answer.
E6.
Oh, no.
What?
E6.
Okay.
E6?
E6, very good.
Why?
I'm not sure. just came to
good
me.
Good guess. Oh, no. Okay, just blurt out
he's
another
playing
answer.
His hunches.
Purse. Cannon.
All
wait
right.
a minute.
Purse?
Purse.
This is great. He's just blurting out answers.
He's doing this like he's in Atlantic
cannon.
City.
Okay. And
wait a minute. Bullet is to gun as ball is to cannon?
What's wrong
ball
with that?
Ball is to cannon?
That's his answer. Bullet is to gun.
Oh, I see. It might be right.
Cannonball.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's why it's such a stupid
here
question.
Here I am. I'm chortling at how stupid you are. And in fact, you're right.
That's you're like, being quite stupid yourself.
That's what's so funny. The price of an article was cut 20% for sale.
Right. So if it was $100, it went down to $80.
By what percent must the item be increased to, again, sell the article at the original price? By what percent must the item then be increased again to sell the article at the original price? And your choices are 15%, 20%, 25%, 30%, or 40%. No one could figure that out. You'd have to be some kind of genius to figure that out.
No.
It can't be done. That's thrown in. That's some kind of trick question.
No, that's simple.
That's the work of the devil. It can't be done. That's a tough one.
This next one's hard. Mary, okay. Mary, Andy's wife, had a number of cookies. After eating one, she gave half of what remained to her sister. After eating another cookie, she gave half of what was left to her brother. Mary had only 5 cookies left now. How many cookies did Mary start with?
And we have 5 choices. 11, 22, 23, 45, or 46. By the way, that problem is based on a true story. My wife did have some cookies, and she did give them to her siblings. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes.
Are you smart?
I am.
Do you love the show?
I'd like to blurt out some answers.
Okay.
25 cookies.
Is that one of the choices?
Let me see.
It's not one of the choices.
It is 2.
I read 5 choices.
It is 2.
It is not. Oh, God. Oh, this is just humiliating.
We accept 25 cookies.
You know, I have to live in this town. I have to live in this town. I have to go out in public. I'm going to be known as the guy with the moron listeners.
No, I think you are indeed up until
I'm going to be the moron magnet. No, that's what I'm going to be known as. I have to live here. All right, do you want to try one more? Which of the 5 is least like the other 4?
Why do you ask this guy if he wants to answer one more when he
got this one wrong?
Well, I mean, you did it, so yeah. Just no, we go have ahead. A... Blurt out another answer. Go ahead.
Everybody knows that 25% of 80 is 20, and 80 plus 20
now, we
is
have an answer to that
we
one.
We already have the wrong answer for that one. Thanks.
I'm giving you the right answer.
It's too late. I've been using pen.
We take the first answer we get. That's how it works.
I should have been using my number 2 pencil.
Okay. Which one? Some are and some aren't.
So you're saying... So which one? The Bofors?
Beefers and Bofors, yeah.
So you're saying neither? It's true or it's true, false, or neither, and you're saying neither. I got to get rid of this guy.
He's
Ken.
Saying neither.
Ken,
thank
I
got to
get rid of this guy. Quinn, quick, hang up, quick.
Okay, he's gone.
Hang
he's
up
gone.
Like the wind. SOS, if anyone's out there listening, anyone that's been through 8th grade, give us a call. Yeah. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I want to answer the distance question.
Oh, please. Do you know what you're talking about?
A mile.
Why is that least like the other 4?
The others are all even increments.
Inch,
oh, that's an odd one.
Inch, mile, acre, yard, or foot. What?
You know what? Even if you're not right, it's great to hear the word increments.
What do you mean? we'll write down mile, but what do you mean exactly?
Well, an inch is evenly goes into a foot, evenly into a yard, et cetera. Mile is 5,280. There's no even.
It's just an arbitrary number?
Correct. Yeah, but what's,
how did they come
but
up
what,
with?
What's an inch? I mean, you're talking about what a mile's composed of.
Well, that's I failed the test. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
But,
oh,
it's,
no.
But it is a mile.
Okay, we thank you.
He used the word increments. I'm going to go with this guy. Okay, we're ready. We're ready to tally up our scores. Please.
You know, the first half we were, I think we
I know,
were,
we were
human
doing
beings,
fine.
And now in the second half we're coming down
yeah,
to
the
like
geeks,
fish brain level.
You know what it is? The geeks got home and started calling. Right. 40 is dimes.
That's correct.
Oh, it is. Oh, mm-hmm. I thought that was wrong. 42 is country.
Correct.
44 is neither.
Incorrect.
45 is kangaroo.
Yes.
52 is 25.
That's right.
53 is cheese.
Yes.
Duh. Just write duh next to that. 55 is salmon.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. 58 is mile.
Wrong.
Is it acre?
Yes.
We should have taken that second call first.
Yeah, we should have.
Yeah, next time we'll know. And 60, the last one, that damn question, is 27 inches.
That's wrong. 11 wrong. 19 right and 11 wrong.
11 wrong, 19 right. So 19 right, determine how many correct answers. 19 right times 2 is 38. We have an IQ. Yes! Yes, 112.
Okay, it's...
Yes!
It's human.
Yes!
Yes.
Buddy, that's more than human. That is average. That is an average IQ. Just admit it. I have an average, mediocre listenership. Just say, just for once in your life, have the courage to say you were wrong and that your listeners are average. They're of average intelligence. They're of average personality. They make an average living. Okay. They are average height.
Well,
I'm
Andy,
proud of my average audience.
You are a magnet for average people.
Thank you very much, Ken. Your apology is accepted. It's great to see you groveling for once and admitting you're wrong. Here's a song I wrote after my son was born. Not like minutes after my son. It wasn't like, ooh, ooh, nurse, hand me that guitar. Now brush your teeth and get under the covers. If you'd like, I'll sit and talk a bit with you. Would you like to hear about how I met your mother? A story so fantastical, so utterly bombastical. There are folks so sarcastical, they still don't believe it's true. In the spring of 1937, she was working for the Navy secretly, developing a big new super weapon. A couple Nazis come along one night. They said, pardon me, ma'am, do you have a light? Then hit her on the head, tied her up real tight, and took her back to Germany. And every night Mama made a tearful plea. She said, isn't there a man who's strong and brave enough to rescue me? Rescue me. Rescue me. At that time I was working undercover. As you know, I was the James Bond of my day. They asked me if I'd try to save your mother. You're the only chance we have, they said. The world is hanging by a thread. If you should fail, we'll all be dead. So I said, okay. The Nazis must have learned what I was after. They sent their top assassin to stop me. He was fast, but I was a little bit faster. I hit him with a body block and then a big karate chop. Then picked that big old Nazi up and threw him in the sea. I snuck into Berlin on a glider and blew them bastards all to smithereens. And then I found your mother and untied her. And though I'd been around the world, had my choice of any girl, she was by far the sweetest pearl that I had ever seen. I turned her into quite a fancy lover and decided that I would bring her home with me, and that my son is how I met your mother. Although if you ask her, she might recall it differently.
Thank you.
This is Christine Lavin. I'm reading a section of my book, and we just heard music by Andy Breckman. That was How I Met Your Mother. And in between, we heard Andy giving an IQ test over the radio. He had a radio program for a while on WFMU in New Jersey. And we opened with Passing Trains. Oh, by the way, I contacted Andy when I told him that I was going to be reading a chapter of the book and adding music to it. And I said, what are you up to? I sent him an email. And he writes back, Hey, Christine, I'm not doing anything musical. I'm still in New Jersey trying to get another TV series on the air. Only real news is I bought a new sectional sofa last year. Back to my book, The Speakeasy in the 1980s. Most of the musicians played guitars, including John Gorka, who used to joke that thanks to the mirrored walls, a performer could flirt with five different people at the same time. Piano players were not as lucky. They had their backs to the audience, and the small upright was never quite in tune. One night, Julie Gold, a future Grammy winner, gently asked Joseph if he could do something about the piano. What are you talking about? He screamed at her. I just had it painted! Despite that, it was a wonderfully percolating scene, and it was where I saw so many great musicians for the very first time. People like Sean Colvin, Nancy Griffith, David Roth and Josh Joffen, they were a duo at the time, Tom and Tondi, Cliff Eberhardt, Lucy Kaplansky, David Mallet, Bill Morrissey, Greg Brown, Uncle Bonsai, Lily Palmer, Aztec Two-Step, Rod McDonald, Nikki Matheson, Peter Spencer, David Massengill, and Mark Dan. And here's a few of them right here.
Local yo-yo roams this part of town, running numbers for the old folks. He's had his ups and downs, freaking by in his two tones, a little too much ozone, a cartoon boy in an aging dreamless world. Breaks into a solo that cuts through the traffic's din. And everyone who knows him knows this gazer checking in. Strangers turn and wonder, start to laugh but hold it under. As they get a load of gazers wailing. I shouldn't laugh, but I do, I do. The sounds are for himself and not for you. If you were to listen, well, I don't think he'd mind. As he clicks, whoops, and hollers away the time. Gaza lives at home now, though his hair has gone away. Evening sweeps the newsstand, hear the business of the day. Hollers only when he's walking, when he stops, he starts talking. To those who know of Gaza's wailing ways. I shouldn't laugh, but I do, I do. The sounds are for himself and not for you. If you were to listen, well, I don't think he'd mind. As he clicks, whoops, and hollers away. Local yo-yo roams this part of town, running numbers for the old folks. He's had his ups and downs, freaking by in his two tones, a little too much ozone, a cartoon boy in an aging dreamless world. Cartoon boy in an aging dreamless world.
Skinny boy's got nothing to lean against in bed. Bony arms and shoulders only bruise my head. When they try to wrestle me, I beat them pound for pound. Skinny boy's got nothing to wrap your arms around.
Skinny boy's got visions of godlike qualities, but every time I greet one, there's nothing there to squeeze. All that wasted effort, all that vanity. Skinny boy's got visions of immortality.
Something about those muscle-bound boys practicing the clean and jerk, oiling up their bodies for the shine.
Never like those tan and lean boys. Too much pressure, too much work. Looking in the mirror for a sign.
I just want a baby fat boy,
double-sized.
boys are losers who seem to try too hard. And every time they talk to me, they won't let down their guard. All that blind devotion, all that foolish pride. Skinny boys are losers with no place left to hide. I don't want no squeaky clean boys, so repressed and so refined, walking like their feet don't touch the ground. Mama's best boy, undeveloped, undefined, waiting for his chance to be profound. I just want an overgrown boy, unconditioned, unrehearsed, fleshy body waiting for the squeeze. Overweight and overblown boys, wet my whistle, quench my thirst. Chubby cheeks just drop me to my knees. All that extra skin, all that extra stuff into your fork, gives me another reason to burn for the fat boys, fat boys. Everyone wants to sin. Truly discerning the last of his harvest to turn up the music and turn on the covers with the fat boys, fat boys. Fat boys, fat boys, fat boys.
Fat boys so massive and fat boys so sweet. Fat boys to fondle and bite. Fat boys to feed me whenever we meet. Fat boys to turn out the light. So ample to sample and hold. Fat boys to brighten my day. Fat boys so grand to manhandle and mold. Fat boys to steal me away. All that extra cheek, all that extra cargo to carry gives me another reason to marry the fat boys, fat boys. Everyone takes a peek. Truly determined we go through the paces. We're puffing our chests and we're stuffing our faces for the fat boys, fat boys. Everyone takes a peek. Truly determined we go through the paces. We're puffing our chests and we're stuffing our faces for the fat boys, fat boys.
Up the pants. He's got souvenirs and picture postcards.
In Bermuda shorts, his Vesuvius blows hard.
He's seen the Lippity Bell, he's seen the Gates of Hell, he's seen Napoleon's heart in a box. He's seen Watusa dance, he's seen a place in France, he's seen the door where opportunity knocks.
Sightseer, he's a sightseer. Sightseer, he's a sightseer.
Sightseer, he's a sight. He's a sightseer. Sightseer, sightseer.
Sightseer. Yeah, I'll never forget the Paris sewers.
Sightseer, he's a sightseer.
That's where he lost a pair of binoculars.
Sightseer, he's a sightseer.
He's been to London Bridge in Arizona.
And he ate a Big Mac in Barcelona.
He's seen the Taj Mahal. He's seen the Wailing Wall. He's seen Jesus Christ in the Dune Wars. Seen the world revolve, but it doesn't get involved. For sightseeing is its own reward.
Sightseer, he's a sightseer. Sightseer, he's a sightseer. Sightseer, he's a sight. He's a sightseer.
A sightseer.
Well, the place to be is the Riviera. For Curvy Birds and Avis Rera. He's sunburned on his arms and neck.
And he pays for sex with the traveler's chair.
He's seen Hillbilly's clog, he's seen Pavlov's dog, he's seen the Pope screw a light bulb in the woods. Seen the seven wonders, he's seen the Think of Honda, he's seen the spot where Custer stood.
Sightseer, he's a sightseer. Sightseer, he's a sightseer. Sightseer, 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 sightseer. He's such a slight Caesar, he's such a slight Caesar, he's such a slight Caesar. Let it got a zoom lens on his Japanese camera. For 20 mountain tops worth of panorama. In 41 tongues he can say hello. And he still remembers the Alamo. He's seen the hands of time, committed most every crime in the Valley of the Tigris and Euphrates. He's seen a mute say please, he's seen up the magician's sleeve, he's seen the birthplace of Edgar Casey. Sightseer, he's a sightseer. Sightseer, he's a sightseer. Sightseer, he's a sight. He's a sightseer. Sightseer, sightseer, sightseer. They'll never forget the Paris sewers.
That was David Massengill and Lucy Tribble doing David's song Sightseer. And before that, we heard Fat Boys by Uncle Banzai and John Gorka singing Gaze's Wailing Ways, and all three of them I saw perform for the very first time at the Speakeasy in the early 1980s here in New York. At the Speakeasy, we did everything except wait on tables. We booked, promoted, and emceed the shows, sold tickets at the door, seated the audience, ran the sound, and sold albums for the artists. There were concerts every night, and Monday was open mic. Many of the people who volunteered at the Speakeasy also helped out with Fast Folk. For a couple of years, it was my job to bring the master tapes to Tom Coyne at the Frankford Wayne Mastering Labs. Tom Coyne was, and is, one of the most respected album mastering artists in the business. I'm sure Fast Folk was paying him a fraction of what his standard fee was, even back then, but he is one of those fantastic mastering engineers, like Phil Klum, who loves good music. Tom Coyne, God bless him, liked what we were up to, a bunch of renegade folk musicians creating our own scene, and he took as much care mastering us every month as he did his major label clients. Many years later, actually in 2007, Fast Folk had ceased operations long ago, and the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. bought up all the recordings, which is now in their archives. Now, a little sidebar here. I contacted the Smithsonian to ask them, you know, how are things going with Fast Folk? And I got an email from them, and I'll read it to you. They said, much of the work in the past couple of years with the Fast Folk label has dealt with cataloging, fact-checking, error-correcting, and the like. This was necessary to get the correct data ingested through all of the major digital download sites. I'm happy to report, Smithsonian says, that most all sites, iTunes, eMusic, Rhapsody, etc., are now carrying a majority of the Fast Folk label. Through our own website, we were seeing mostly physical CD sales of full albums, but digital sales for individual tracks, in addition to full album downloads, for the Fast Folk catalog are slowly gaining. Overall, the Fast Folk label comprises only about 100 of the nearly 3,000 full albums that the Smithsonian has on hand, so percentage-wise, the Fast Folk sales is a very small portion of our total sales, but we are seeing signs of small growth as a label. As for which artists are the most popular, Sean Colvin definitely leads the pack. So if you are liking some of the music that you're hearing that I'm playing, you can go to the Smithsonian Folkways website and you can download individual tracks or entire issues of the Fast Folk Musical Magazine. And it also has a PDF file that is a copy of the original paper magazine that was tucked inside each issue. Now, the website for the Smithsonian Folkways Fast Folk is so complicated, the easiest way to do it is to just Google Smithsonian Fast Folk, and you'll get right to it. As subscriptions to the magazine grew, I've come back to my book now, okay? Jack Hardy threw album mailing parties at his tiny walk-up apartment, where he also hosted the weekly songwriters' dinners. One of the people who came to the mailing parties was a strange woman who shaved half her head. The other half was in dreadlocks. She told us she lived for free in a building on the Lower East Side with other squatters. She was very low-key and sweet and was eager to help, but since she never came to the speakeasy, we assumed that she wasn't a musician. Her name? Michelle Schacht. Even with the magazine priced at $4, as times went on, it was clear that the price needed to go up again. Local graphic artists now wanted to design covers for the albums, and printing costs went up, so the subscription charge was raised, then raised again. I think at its height, it was $10 an issue, still a bargain when you consider what you got. 100 years from now, someone is going to do very well on the Antiques Roadshow. For the first year or so, almost all the recorded musicians were New Yorkers or were passing through. But then Fast Folk went on the road. I traveled to Boston with Jay Rosen, who worked during the day at J&R Music, but tirelessly engineered many of the Fast Folk issues in his spare time. The Boston area has always been very supportive of folk music. They've always had great radio. WUMB at UMass plays folk music every day. And they started playing the Fast Folk records as soon as they received them. Because of this, Suzanne Vega and Sean Colvin became stars in the Boston area even before their hometown New York area. When Jay was recording the Boston artists, it was my job to collect the song lyrics, bios, and any publishing information on the songs. One of the songwriters on that first Boston session was Tracy Chapman, who had never recorded before. But something went wrong with her recording. There was a loud hiss on her track from start to finish. It was extremely annoying and could not be eliminated, even by Tom Coyne. Jack Hardy didn't care. All he cared about was documenting songs, preserving them as they were being written. For that, her recording was fine. But I felt differently. I told him that no radio station would be able to play it with that hiss on it, and he scoffed. "We aren't making these records for radio airplay," he said. "It's not what we're about." Jack Hardy was always a purist, but I am more pragmatic, so I fought him. We went back and forth, and finally he said the only way he would take that song off would be if I personally took responsibility. I would have to write to Tracy myself and explain. So that's what I did. I tried to put a positive spin on it. I told her I thought she was too good to have a bad recording be her debut. I hope she realizes that I was trying to do the right thing by her. Here's three songs from that Boston issue of Fast Folk.
I've got to wash these windows. I've got to sweep these floors. You can't tell between the lettering and shadow anymore. The sunshine fights its way through dust in old-time letter spells. Dollmaker on the wall, past all the dolls upon the shelves. There's been no one here since Christmas, but the children in the town. They know I give them licorice while they take a look around. The young girls like the dresses women don't wear anymore. And the little boys like soldier dolls dressed from the Civil War. And the red-haired girl in freckles, pigtails, and chocolate on her face wants to know why all the girl dolls' eyes and noses are the same. So I scratched my beard and smiled and lit my pipe and then replied, "It's the doll maker's secret." Once there was a little girl in a world of long ago who wore her mother's clothes up in the attic in the cold and played with all her baby dolls in the mirror that she had. And I see her face in antique photographs beside my dad. Now I've always been a loner and I've never had a wife. And these dolls have been my family and have been all my life. My eyes and nose look just like hers. The dolls all look like mine. It's the doll maker's secret. I've got to wash these windows. I've got to sweep these floors. For winter goes away and springtime comes to life once more. And another generation comes to see what I have got. Never knowing I love evermore. The dolls they never bought. It's the doll maker's secret. It's the doll maker's secret.
Death took the husband of a neighbor of mine on a highway with a drunk at the wheel. She told me, keep your clean hands off the laundry he left and don't tell me you know how I feel. She had a tape that he'd sent her from a Holiday Inn and she never played it much in the day. But when I heard him say he loved her through the window at night, I just stayed the hell away. There's a hole in the middle of the prettiest life, so the lawyers and the prophets say. Not your father nor your mother nor your lover's gonna ever make it go away. And there's too much darkness in an endless night to be afraid of the way we feel. Let's be kind to each other, not forever, but for real. My father never put his parachute on in the Pacific back in World War II. He said he'd rather go down in familiar flames than get lost in that endless blue. And some of that blue got into my eyes, and we never stopped fighting that war. Until I first understood about endlessness, and I loved him like never before. There's a hole in the middle of the prettiest life, so the lawyers and the prophets say. Not your father, nor your mother, nor your lover's gonna ever make it go away. And there's too much darkness in an endless night to be afraid of the way we feel. Let's be kind to each other, not forever, but for real. It's lucky that my daughter got her mother's nose and just a little of her father's eyes. And we've got just enough love that when the longing takes me, well, it takes me by surprise. And I remember that longing from my highway days, though I never could give it a name. It's lucky I discovered in the nick of time that the woman and the child aren't to blame. For the hole in the middle of a pretty good life, I only face it 'cause it's here to stay. Not my father nor my mother nor my daughter nor my lover nor the highway made it go away. And there's too much darkness in an endless night to be ashamed of the way I feel. I'll be kind to my loved ones, not forever, but for real. Some say that God is a lover. Some say it's an endless void. Some say both. Some say she's angry, and some say he's just annoyed. But if God felt a hammer in the palm of his hand, then God knows the way we feel. And love lasts forever, forever and for real. Love lasts forever.
For Real by Bob Franke and The Dollmaker's Secret by Chuck Hall from the Fast Folk issue of the Fast Folk Musical Magazine, recorded in Boston. As I mentioned, Tracy Chapman was not on this issue because of a technical problem that I thought ruined her recording. Jack Hardy felt differently, and we clashed over that.
This is the end of part one of Christine Lavin reading from her memoir. And she focuses in these chapters on the speakeasy, which we ran on McDougal Street back in the early 80s. It was right there on McDougal next to Panchito's, which is no longer there. Amazing Mexican restaurant. And also, she talks about the Fast Folk Musical Magazine. Mark Dan did the recording. People went out to his place. We had to go up the fire escape or steal into the house so his parents didn't get bothered when he was up there in the attic recording. Now he's got his own operation out of Woodstock, New York, and he credits Fast Folk with his current career. Part two starts next week, and she will pick up where she left off, where she was arguing with Jack Hardy. Hopefully you're enjoying this blast from the past of Greenwich Village and Christine's memories of it. This is Folk Plus, and I'll be here on the radio next week, same time, and you will hear part two.
The 5th Annual Upper Delaware Litter Sweep will take place the entire Earth Day month of April, and artists are invited to participate. Amateur and professional artists may submit designs for a new commemorative litter sweep t-shirt using the litter prevention theme of Don't Be Trashy. The deadline for artwork submissions is Friday, February 14th. Get details at upperdelawarecouncil.org or by calling 845-252-3022.
Support comes from the Homestead School, Montessori education, preschool through early college with campuses in Glens Bay and Hurleyville. Building the intelligence, creativity, connection, and skills for an ecological future since 1978. Homesteadschool.com. From the River Reporter newspaper in Narrowsburg, New York. RiverReporter.com. And from listener donations at WJFFradio.org.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, independent grassroots global news. Our reporting includes breaking daily news headlines and in-depth interviews with people on the front lines of the world's most pressing issues. People speaking for themselves, providing unique and sometimes provocative perspectives on global events. Democracy Now!, weekdays at noon, right here on Radio Catskill.
Next time on the Retro Cocktail Hour, we'll take a voyage to the bottom of the sea. Also, the new exotic sounds of vibraphonist Mark Riddle, and from Sweden, Ixtawela, on their album Call of the Islands. I'm Darryl Brogdon. Why not join me where the music's shaken, not stirred? The Retro Cocktail Hour. Wednesday night at 7, here on Radio Catskill.